This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is Johnny and Tim, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. It is Johnny and Tim back together again, the team. Johnny, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad I'm back. I'm glad Evan is always there, making sure that this show comes across the way it should. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We want to hear from you. Topic, hey, Johnny, jump into it. 1 week ago today, a school shooting, Uvalde, Texas, right? 21. Dead, two teachers included, children, community wrecked, devastation everywhere. You know, and of course, it's a school shooting. So anybody's like, you know, why would Busted Pencils go into this event? And it's because, you know what, this is the reality. But I want to think about, you know, the parents and the children and everything like that. But I want to think about teachers and teachers as a whole, because a week later, how are teachers doing? What's the mood of teaching? What does it now feel like if you're still in the classroom? I know some people have gone home for summer break. I know some people are still in the classroom. Teachers, 844-967-2789, jump on. You don't have to share your name. Talk to us about what's going on, how it's going out there. And Johnny, I just want to jump into a piece that came out. It was on NBCnews.com, and I'm just going to read this. This is quotes. What do you want me to say? That I can't eat? That all I hear are the voices screaming? And I can't help them? Nothing feels safe. Nothing feels normal anymore. That's a teacher responding to a reporter asking questions or for comments. And it follows up with the article saying her teachers. Now, the teacher did not give their name because they wanted to remain anonymous, and we understand that. But her students have been watching a Disney movie Tuesday morning as part of their year-end celebration. When she heard gunfire explode down the hall, she knew exactly what it was. She had shouted for her kids to get under their desks and sprinted to lock her classroom door. The children did exactly as they were told, she said. And here's the teacher again quoting, they've been practicing for this day for years, the teacher said, referring to the active shooter exercises that have become as much a fixture of public education in America as math, science, and readings. Teacher again, they knew this wasn't a drill. We knew we had to be quiet or else we were going to give ourselves away. I'm so perplexed by this, Johnny, and so disheartened, disoriented from even just to when I hear this teacher, the thought, of course, the trauma that's there and it's going to be there. I'm just absolutely startled by the fact that this is the day they had been ready and practicing for. When you typically hear this is the day they've been waiting for, usually in the reference of some form of education, it's commencement. It's going home for summer. It's an accomplishment, an achievement. They have been waiting for the. They have been preparing. They have been waiting. That sentence from that teacher just does something to me that I can't comprehend. And so, I don't know, John, just thoughts where you're at right now.
Yeah, Tim. Well, one, I think it's important too, because like you hit the nail on the head with the fact that, you know, we talk a lot about education and especially from the perspective of teachers or for preparing teachers, you know, to do work in our K-12 system. And, you know, we talk often on the show about higher education and just education in general in this country. And it would be a disservice to education to have space and time tonight or anywhere where we didn't acknowledge that this is beyond the need of attention. I mean, this is absolutely, you know, product of a lack of attention and a normalizing of this. And that's one of the things that you pointed out here, and the idea that we have active shooter drills and that we plan and prepare for preventable. That's the thing I really want to emphasize, is there's a massive amount of discussion trying to spin this as though these things just happen, kind of like an earthquake or, you know, like a big storm, which even right now, climate science is showing us that, like, really we have created some more dangerous living situations for ourselves as humans on this planet. But this is absolutely in every way a preventable disaster. And we time and time again have put the responsibility on individuals, and in that respect on teachers, to shoulder the weight of preparing for these kinds of preventable disasters, right? And so instead of some very simple legislative changes, some very simple community changes in our culture, we've pushed that aside and put it on to teachers and to really, the trust of families and parents, right? That they'll send their kids to a safe place. And so what we're reminded of is that these are not safe places, and that doesn't mean don't send your kids to school or don't be a teacher, but it does mean, you know, time is beyond the point of where we need to actually make some adjustments to address these preventable disasters without putting the responsibility on. Better just respond to it when it happens.
Right. You know, John, you just made me think about that, the way you phrased this. And I'd put this out there then too, for anybody who's listening and wants to jump in. Johnny says it's preventable, and it made me think, okay, particularly teachers out there, what needs to be done? I know Johnny and I have we have very informed ways that we think, but I would, given the fact that I wanted the show tonight to really focus on teaching in this situation, if this is preventable, you know, teachers, what do you think? It's 844-967-2789. How would you go about preventing something like that happened in that? It's Johnny, you know, it's Uvalde, Texas today. God forbid it'll be somewhere else, sometime soon. Because John, I think the reality too, what you said is, we're not really interested in, quote, preventing. In a sense, when you hear a teacher say, we've prepared for this day, you know, all year long, and the fact is that they're not talking about graduation, you know, a special trip to the amusement park or something like this, that they've been practicing active shooter drills, and the day came where they actually had to use that practice, you know, that is an indication of saying, yeah, we're not going to stop this. We're not willing. And I say the public in America, and we are not willing to prevent this. We are willing to minimize or create situations where there might be less damage. So, you know, you think about that going, okay, that's really all we have to offer then. And you hear this teacher talking about this and saying, this is my reality. And then the next question is, and what's the future hold for this teacher in particular, who was there, who survived, thank goodness, took their children out, protected their children. But now this ramification that cuts across the profession of teaching to just say, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, we're going to talk about that, you know, as we lean on this, where are teachers in this moment? Because here's a teacher who was there, the trauma's there, but I'm hearing from more teachers too, just saying their own reading of this. And even if talking about it tonight is really hard on teachers, we apologize, but we want to get this out there. I understand it. It's tough on me to have this conversation too, but I just, I'm just really hearing teachers who are, you know, 3,000 miles away, look at this event and now are saying, yeah, am I next? John,
and Tim, it's just most teachers right now, and speaking from the perspective of being a teacher in the last 2 weeks of, you know, an academic calendar, right? And where we are right now is an important to take folks who are listening who aren't teachers into the mindset of where we're at a week or two out from the end of the school year. And for some, this has been the last week or it's coming. We're in that zone. And for non-teachers, where we're at right now, where every educator is you're thinking about landing the school year. You're thinking about how you're each day implanting important seedlings into the young people leaving your class who are going to be out in their community for a couple of months, who are going to be disconnected from the school for a few months. There's big changes for young people in the coming weeks. And every teacher is landing that school year plan right now. And they're really careful about they're tired. They've worked hard. This has been a exhausting school year, as every school year is hard work. This has been an exceptional one. And so every teacher right now that I work with and I've talked to, and I can imagine myself, if I have my own classroom right now, I get the privilege of being in many classrooms, but if I have my own, I've got to land a plane. And so I'm landing that plane different than I've ever landed it before, but I'm in shock. I know things have to change, but I have to empathize with my fellow teachers. I'd be pretty tired of being asked what I need right now. I need everyone to leave things be and let me land this plane. And then things have got to really change. We have too much. And it ought not to be the responsibility of teachers to say enough. So I'm not saying that we are asking, though. I just know that this moment, and people are asking, what do we do? I think we have to pause and breathe, because we know what we need to happen, and we know that it's likely not going to happen. So we need to land the plane, finish the school year, and we need to make big changes.
And I want to put that out there, Johnny. In fact, you know, maybe that's even better. How are you landing the plane if you are a teacher out there? How's this year finishing up? How do you do this? 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Johnny and Tim back here. And when we get back, we'll come back into this. So how do we land this plane? Busted Pencils, more after the break.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
It is Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk. Numbers 844, if you want to talk, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Just thinking about our little intro trailer there, teaching and learning during, you know, a post-COVID world, all these things. And, you know, do we have to make a new trailer, teaching and learning during school shootings? You know, and Johnny, that's, you know, we're coming out. Yes, it's been 1 week since the Texas shooting in Uvalde, Texas. We're talking about it. You know, we didn't talk last Tuesday when it happened, but we're talking about it now. We're talking about teachers, but we're absolutely willing to hear other thoughts on this. But how are teachers doing? We heard from an anonymous teacher who was there that day and was able to get out and protect their kids, and the trauma that teacher's going through. And John left us with Johnny really left us with a question or a position to envision that at this moment, teachers' jobs are to land the plane, bring it in, end the school year. And how do we do that? How do you, on one day, plan for the end of the year of school and within 24 hours recognize that those last 2 to 5 days are now going to be in this context of a massive school shooting? How do you land the plane. How do you come in at the end of the year? How do you address children? How do you talk to parents? How do you even say it's like, okay, you know, do you get back to normal as fast as you can? And I'm not even going to ask that sarcastically, because I don't know the answer to your question, how I land this plane if I'm a classroom teacher at the moment.
Hopefully you've done it a few times. So all of us are pretty used to what happens when we go into the, you know, landing procedure, the last few weeks of the school year. And we're trying to, you know, impart joy with children in the classroom. We're trying to make sure that they leave with those strong foundations from whatever grade that they're wrapping up with us, and that they have a real clear understanding and message from us as educators that this is their community. We look forward to seeing them in a few months, that we hope to have a fun and safe summer, mm-hmm. right? And that, you know, we're really making sure every kid has that connection that every child in our schools deserves. So you're really going back through the school year with them. You're really connecting with the children in a way that makes sure they know that they have a community of adults, mm-hmm. cares deeply for their growth and their education, and we're excited for the summer and for all the fun that they'll have. But we're also here for them, and we look forward to seeing them. So we're, you know, we're sort of planting seeds, or to use a metaphor, we've done the seedling work, and now we're getting it out to the garden, and it's going to be in the garden for the summer, and then we'll see it at harvest in the fall. And so, you know, there is a lot going on in classrooms where it's already the end of a hardworking year for every teacher. So I think they know how to land the plane. I think one of the things is we're inundated with a few harsh realities. And one of them is that our job all the time, and especially right now, is to make sure that children feel safe and that they are safe. And those are two different things. So it's hard on teachers. It's extra exhausting right now to be ensuring safety when deep down inside, and it doesn't even have to be too deep, right? We know that it's not safe for all children. And it's not safe for most kids in this country. And increasingly, we're seeing in spaces like schools, it is incredibly unsafe. And I don't want to even say statistically or a number, right? Because I know I've heard a lot of facts around how it's dangerous to be in a car, and it's also dangerous to do other things, but we still do that. But I'll relate it to that. It is a government's responsibility to provide regulation and organization around providing safety in general. Right. We have rules around traffic, around car seats, around seat belts, and all kinds of regulations. It is absolutely absurd to be talking about, not picking on you, Tim, for anyone to be talking about anything other than the fact that a government's responsibility is the safety of its people. Mm. If this country is to care about its people, then it's got to do different things for its most vulnerable communities of people of color and children. Right now, in the last 2 weeks, have shown us that the government has absolutely zero concern for their well-being or their right to be alive. And in fact, I'll get on my soapbox and then pass.
Get on it, man. Get on it.
We've been inundated with so-called right to life kind of rhetoric. Mm-hmm. That the oxymoron here is that any politician or any legislator or any policymaker who cares about life or proclaims to care about life, but is ignoring life in general, especially life of living young people, right? Then they need to be held responsible. The last show we were listening to, if folks have been listening for a little while here, you know, ended on a point where, you know, they were saying that the legislators are as equally as responsible as the shooter himself. And I thought, wow, that's pretty profound. Mm-hmm. But I, in this case, think, absolutely connect the dots here. This was preventable, and all the other things. As a teacher, I want to land the plane. I want to end the school year, but I also don't want you to ask me to do your job. And I'm mm-hmm. talking directly to policymakers, legislators, and leaders in our community. You do your job when it comes to speed limits. You do your job when it comes to that I got to put a seatbelt on when I get in a car. And I'm not even against that. Mm-hmm. Do your job when it comes to access to the kinds of weapons that create these disasters, and that couple up with people who are struggling, who in every way do enact these kinds of violences. They're preventable. And I don't want to be asked, what do I need? I need you to do your job, government. I need you to do your job, legislators. And
It ought not to be. The bottom line is we need to be able to sell more guns or sideline the issue to Second Amendment rights. This has absolutely nothing to do with the Second Amendment.
Mm. Well, and so there it is, John. I soapbox anytime, my partner. Anytime. 844-967-2789. Coming up on the break here for the bottom of the half hour. But I'll just kind of put this forward, that what you're talking about, John, again, landing the plane, the way you separated that out and say, like, I, as a professional, as a teacher, I know what I have to do. I have to help this. And like you said, create joy. I have to acknowledge the moment. I have more than anything to make sure that these children feel safe. And in fact, maybe somebody might have even heard you and says, John, it sounds like you are actually saying they should get back to normal. It's not being normal. It's being a professional and saying the end of this year has to be in a sense of saying, we did great work, kids. You did great work. We're going to go forward. We're going to be awesome. But we need to be safe. And, you know, this is where you let the students go. But teachers now, Johnny puts out there, you know, our government, our politicians are failing children. Right to life? Really? I don't think so. When we get back, 844-967-2789, we can talk about landing the plane. And goodness, let's actually talk about this in a way that I don't know if we can make any meanings here, though, John. But more Busted Pencils back after the break.
UI.com.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Banned?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
It is Tim and Johnny, and we are back. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. 7 days now since the crazy, insane, horrible, traumatic shooting, school shooting in Texas. And we're framing this around teachers. We're talking about how, with the teachers, how they're coping, how they're handling this. Johnny talked about how they're going to help land this plane at the end of the year, and the fact that as professionals, they have to do everything they can to make sure that these students recognize the hard work they did, the learning they did, and to really help them understand the safety, because a lot of kids are feeling not safe. Even teachers too. We've been asking that question. We got a couple callers on the line. LA Tom, Tom from LA though is first. LA Tom, you know, your family's teachers, we've heard from you before. How would they land this plane, or what are your thoughts?
Well, I think first off, we need to recognize and we need to continue this mantra that the Republicans are the pro-death party. They are the party of death. Everything they do, whether it's COVID, whether it's school shootings, whether it's capital punishment, whatever it is. And the Democrats are the pro-woman's right to choose instead of pro-government's right to choose. Most women choose to actually carry a child to full term. Therefore, you know, it's all about a woman's choice and a government's choice. And I really want us to, you know, get this messaging down that they really are the pro-death party. As far as landing the plane, I know from my brothers and sisters, you know, they've spoken up quite a bit of time about COVID and, you know, mask and things like that. And I think they've even gotten some pushback from their administrators, unfortunately. And unfortunately, not a lot of protection, unfortunately, from the union. I feel like the Republicans, if they wanted to destroy public education, they're doing a great job at it by making people scared to even go into the field. But yeah, I think like Johnny was saying, I guess that you gotta hope that you can instill in, you know, one or two of the kids or all of the kids, you know, that, you know, kind of doing a summary of what it was that they learned for the year. I just think it's so perplexing that a kid has to even have the stress of going to school and worrying about if someone's going to come in and shoot them, how the hell can they ever learn? It's just the anxiety must be off the charts. And I think the people, especially there in Wisconsin because of Act 10, they basically have made teachers almost like their servants and have made it where it was a very respected profession, especially in the state of Wisconsin. Like I said, my whole family's teachers. That's about 9 different people, administrators, what have you. My dad was a football coach for 40 years in Wisconsin. And, you know, I think they've almost made teachers into this bad guy. Mm-hmm. And they've made the teacher, you know, it's kind of like I think in some people's minds, it's like they're getting to the point now where they're thinking, wow, the teacher should be stopping this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's just crazy in terms of the way that the common person thinks, you know, about education. You're there to teach about, you know, how to handle life's problems. You're there to teach about arithmetic and writing and thoughtful thinking and open thinking. And, you know, for them to have to worry about someone coming in with a automatic rifle or a semi-automatic, gun,
all your comments are right on, but you just said something though, Tom, really, that's it's not a worrying anymore. The fact, if you listen to the first part of the show, the teacher talking about, they are drilled and ready. I mean, that was the teacher's word. They were ready for this day. The fact is now is, and I want to emphasize your point though too, is like, how can teachers, you know, be operating under this fact that, you know, they were ready for this moment, you know? And you're talking about teaching and learning and things like this, and we're talking about, you know, landing the plane. And I absolutely agree with Johnny 100% that we have to be professionals as teachers. We have to do everything we can to help those students understand that they're safe, that this year they learned a lot. But man, it's just this whole idea though, Tom.
This is what I was telling you about last week or 2 weeks ago, was the fact that it's almost like we have to teach the students about how government is working right now in terms of, you know, the people that are buying off the donation or the donors are the ones that are actually controlling the legislation. Because I don't know how else what do? You tell a student, hey, next year it's going to be better. You know, I mean, and you have no one changing any of the laws. I mean, I think it'd be pretty tough to look a kid in the eye and say it's going to get better. Because right now, with everyone being bought off, I don't think it is. And the Republicans being the pro-death party, you know, we know nothing's going to change unless the rich donors and the billionaire class actually want something to happen.
Yeah. Tom, man, you're bringing me down, Johnny.
Well, I'm glad Tom calls. Thanks for your call and perspective. And Tom nailed it. It's like, come on. It has gotten to the point where we're almost expecting teachers to solve everything. It's like, hey, and teachers, can you end nuclear wars, please, and stop climate change? When actually that is the kind of attitude the country has right now, is teach the kids so that this shifts. But we also need a little bit of help from legislation to make some changes. And I appreciate Tom pointing out the death aspect of the death party. And I'll even add to that, more than the death, because death is inevitable, they're the business of death party. I mean, they are the ones who are advocating around like capital gain from tragedy and death. And then, and in this sense, you know, they'll deny it because they'll shift the rhetoric towards, well, this is an action of evil. It is actually a system set up to profit from these kinds of disasters, and they're in every way related to money made in every single greedy way possible around the sales of something that just shouldn't be allowed to be bought by anyone in the general public. Maybe anyone in the world, let alone anyone in the general public. So
yeah, Gunn and Tom, again, thanks for that call. Evan, I know we have Gene on the line. How are we doing on time there? We good? All right. Good. Gene from Eau Claire. Thanks for holding, Gene. What's going on?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
First of all, thank you for what you're doing with this show. You know, to me, teachers are like the light in the darkness for the kids, for the parents, and for society. But in order to have that light, you need electricity, generation, and that should be us, the people. We, the people, need to fight for the teachers. We need to fight for the children. We need to call out the insane and the pariahs that are running our country that don't give a rat's butt about anybody but themselves. And they utilize lots of lies, and we teach children, and we learned as children, we don't lie. But the parents need to be told the truth or even given opportunities to see who's really doing that. And I think a lot of parents' eyes are opening up. And you guys are the strength of the kids. And that's not that you have to carry them, but just your being there. I mean, you are the hope for society. And you've been doing a great job. And we, the people, need to support you in that position because, really and seriously, what would we do without teachers? And you guys don't get enough credit. And you work so hard. And, you know, you have the day-to-day issues. You have each child's learning capabilities. And teachers have come so far. I mean, they work so hard in their education. They have so many gifts. And they have to, and children are such individuals. And you spot the kid, and you bring out the great in the kid, and you see their strengths, and you work on their weaknesses. And we need to do that to get those gall darn lion, evil people that are acting out. And really and truly, I believe there's insanity in those people, the Trump supporters. I'm sorry to use that. If you're not using it, I will.
Go for
it,
Gene.
And the Republican Party, they are just unbelievable. It's like there's an alternative reality, and we're all watching. Hey, this don't happen in our society, but it is. And they need to be held accountable, and I hope the people that can do it, and we need to keep calling them and calling them out, and you guys need to teach the kids, and we need to. The people need to support their teachers, and the parents need to, too. You can't blame the teachers for any of this kind of stuff. You guys are the light. You are there.
Oh.
You help the kids, and thank you so much for your work.
Oh, Gene, thank you. My goodness. And, you know, and Johnny, I'm going to be honest here and say, like, yeah, we teach teachers and things like that, but teachers who are listening, Gene just called it out for all of you. Thank you. Thank you. The fact, and to hear that. And then, Gene, to really come back and say it's we the people that are failing the teachers in this moment. John, you talked about school shootings are preventable. And the fact that we continue, as we say, to look at reducing the damage as opposed to stopping the event, we've literally turned this into that moment that says, look, the best we can do is to have fewer of you killed. So pay attention, follow your drills, learn how to act when the active shooter comes in. The fact that we as a people, as Gene just said, we the people have allowed that to actually be the solution for how to deal with school shootings is that we're going to train people how to reduce the amount of death, as opposed to saying, no, these people were trained or educated to help bring, and I'm going to use Gene again, bring the light out of our children, out of our parents. And I love this. She said that parents, children, communities, teachers, that light, how do you pull that light when we are being asked and thrown into the dark? The idea about this is just, my goodness. Gene, what a great phone call. Thanks for calling Busted Pencils. Tom from LA, we always appreciate your call. We got one more segment when we get back. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. 1 week since Uvalde, teachers, you know, I'm going to come back in this and kind of go, okay, teachers, what is the effect, though, on the future of teachers? That's what we're going to talk about when we get back after the break. More Busted Pencils.
What if I'm righting you a wrong? What if you knew it all along?
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
What if it always bothered me?
Oh, Tim, thank you. Rise Against, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. 1 week since the school shooting in Uvalde. We're talking about the effect on teachers, where they're at. We've had great callers, Tom from L.A., Gene from Eau Claire. And we got another caller on the phone right now for our last segment. Pizza Box, Mike. Pizza Box, what's happening? What's your, you know, what are your thoughts on this horrible, horrendous, awful, tremendous, traumatic event?
A great show, as always. But, you know,
well, thank you.
More people need to listen. You know, as my mom being a teacher, elementary teacher, and my dad an elementary principal, I can tell you my dad would have probably been in that building trying to save those kids. But as far as arming teachers, hey, listen, ADHD, third grade, that teacher might have shot me. I'm not kidding. You can really push a teacher too far as a kid. And that would just be an awful idea to have somebody lose their temper. But, yeah, look what the effect. How many teachers have left their jobs? How many thousands is it in America that have left their jobs because they don't want to carry guns and because they want to teach children? They don't want to have to deal with this, right? It's beyond traumatic. But what's going to happen out of this is they will hire teachers that do like to carry guns. You're going to get some of that, right? People that are going to go, oh, yeah, I'd love to have a gun and teach. Republicans, not good.
This is, you know what, Pizza Box, Mike, thank you so much for the call and just coming in here. But, the reality here, it made me think about this. You know, I really want to hit this hard about, you know, what is the effect on teachers? Teachers are leaving the profession, and how is this going to? But you also point out this whole idea of a solution of arming teachers. And, yeah, we have to talk about the ridiculousness of that. The fact is that, and, yes, I know it's a meme, but it's a meme fully really true, where they're sexually grooming kids to go out into the world to be sexually exploited. They're teaching kids to be feel really bad about being white. They're not allowed to teach about history anymore. We're really concerned about the books that they bring to school because of these teachers. But you know what? Let's give them a gun. Okay, so the fact that that's out there, that on one day we're not allowing teachers to make any type of professional type of decision that's in the best interest of the kid. And on the next day, we're saying, but you know what? Give them a gun so that they can protect themselves and be a good guy with a gun. The absolute ridiculousness of that, like I said, going all the way back to Johnny saying this is preventable. It's not preventable by arming a teacher to shoot the school shooter. It's preventable by stopping school shootings from ever beginning to happen. Pizza Box Mike, I don't know, John, what do you think here?
Man, well, first of all, thanks for the call, Pizza Box Mike. Love when you call and love your shows and stuff. So keep up the good work. But this is really great, Tim. This does come up that we need more, you know, security in schools, and why not armed teachers? And here's the thing, it sidelines the issue again from the fact that. Even if I'm a trained teacher who feels pretty comfortable with a handgun, you know, in a classroom, that's not my job.
Right.
Also on top of that, and I don't want to like stereotype teachers either for or against guns, but it doesn't often run intuitive to the same kind of care work
that we're doing as teachers. It also doesn't increase the safety of the classroom. It actually increases. Pizzabuck Mike kind of made a joke about it, but he's not wrong. That like having the gun there will increase the amount of amounts of deaths in that space, and is less likely to be a deterrent from a mass shooting. And so I'm just thinking about it in terms of practicality. You know, it's really the access to the kind of weaponry that makes that kind of killing, you know, sensational. And I hate to even say that, but it's directly connected to, like we had said, it is mental health related. Mm-hmm. It is also, you know, copycat related. There are factors that we know about these shootings that are common. And they are also not because someone had access to the kind of weapon a teacher would have if they were in a classroom or even a security. You know, it's like we wouldn't be able to stop that as a teacher, even if I was armed. And so we need to look at how do we prevent it at the source of, you know, nipping it in the bud before it can even be something that turns into that kind of carnage.
Because John, you're focused on, you know, the solution to stop school shootings, not minimize the damage of a school shooter, and just understanding
or make more work for teachers. It's just like, right. Like the other thing is like, oh, and guess what? Now, in addition to the, you know, the training your kids to know how to respond. I mean, every single teacher right now in this country can relate to that. They know the drill. They know how to make sure their kids are out of sight. They know how to prepare their kids to be silent. They know how to move through things. They know the drill. And they dread the day that comes where they have to do the real thing. And so, you know, it ought not be that. And putting a gun in their hand isn't going to make that drill any safer.
Well, you think, yeah, it's not going to make it any safer. You said it's going to increase the danger. And the fact is, too, John, just repositioning a teacher to, quote, be that person takes away from the professional reason they're there, which is teaching and learning, care, nurturing and support. Safety. Yes, safety. But the fact that you were thinking about this, no, prevent the school shooting. Stop the school shooting. Don't create this armed teacher thing. And my goodness, we didn't even really get to it, John, but the biggest concern here is, and Pizza Box Mike reminded us, teachers prior to this were already saying, I don't think I'm coming back next year. 50% of teachers polled prior to this shooting said some form of, I'm not sure if I'm coming back. We don't have any direct numbers now, but after the shooting, but there are some already anecdotals where teachers going, this is it. This was the last straw. I'm done. After, and you said, John, after this year, whatever all this was in this year was incredibly insane. And now the fact is that you actually want me to come back. Well, first of all, I don't even think you wanted me there to begin with. There was no love all during the school year. But man, John, I don't know. We're not going to solve the issue here, but we're going to talk about it. And we appreciate all the phone calls. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. More when we come back next week.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!